Yes, it's a shame that I don't have these photos. I was just showing them only a few weeks ago in the meeting in Morley. And Sophie and I, on the 3rd of March, we flew to Indonesia because we went there to be part of the camp and see the fellowship in Bali generally, but in other areas in Indonesia. We were at the camp in Bali. Then we went over to West Timor, about 1,000 kilometres to the east, and saw the saints there. We were there for 4 or 5 days, and then we flew back to Bali because there was a wedding there, and after that we flew over to Java to see a relatively new fellowship over there, a couple of fellowships. And that was great. It was terrific to meet these people. The people in Java, Java is predominantly Muslim, Bali is predominantly Hindu, West Timor is predominantly denominational Christians. Anyway, so we were there. When we came back to Bali, and this was for a wedding on the 16th of March, we arrived on the 15th, and we were the wedding was in this rather swanky hotel and quite a little bit out of the city. So we thought, oh, we'll pay for a couple of nights in this hotel, and I'm glad it was only two. But when we got there, just outside of the hotel, you know, 100 metres, no more, there was this little roadside eating place, and that was the sort of place that Sophie and I enjoy going to because you can buy a meal for $2.50 or something like that. Anyway, and it's good food. And so we went around there with one other saint, a saint from Holland, and we went around there, and we sat at the table. The place was empty, but sat down at the table, and the proprietor and his wife walked up with a menu, and so there was Sophie and myself and Christina sitting there, and the proprietor and his wife, it was funny, they pulled up a chair and they sat at the table, and they didn't speak English, and I said, Sophie, the proprietor's sitting down with us, you know. It was like five people having a meal. Anyway, we made our order, and it was only me that had a bit of a could speak a little bit of the language. And so we made the order, and his wife went back to the kitchen to cook it. But he, Nala, and that's what I had the photo of, Nala sat there talking to us and asking questions, and I was stumbling along in the language and you know, being a translator and so on. And Nala said that how he was sick, and Nala was Hindu. The area that we were in, it was a slum area, or there was a slum in that area, and people had died in the war, Muslim. And he said that he'd sick, and Sophie said, well, why don't you tell him about the healing? And to be perfectly honest, I hadn't been tempted to start witnessing to him because I haven't had much success with Hindu people because they're all dyed in the wool and I was just going to eat and run, you see. Anyway, Sophie said, why don't you tell him about healing? And I said, all right then. And so I explained to him how the Lord can work miracles. Now, what his illness was, he said that he'd had a headache. Hypertension, and Sophie asked me to ask him how long he'd had it. He'd had it since 2007, so he'd had this persistent headache and other symptoms as well for 12 years. And I said to him, well, Nala, we're happy to pray for you, and the Lord can heal you. Do you believe that? And he said, yes. I don't know that he actually did. But anyway, we prayed, and so the three of us laid hands on him and praying in the spirit for just a few minutes. And in the end, you know, we said, well, in the name of the Lord, be healed. And he just stayed sitting there. He was like this. He's like a stunned mullet. And we looked at each other, and I said, Nala, you know, tapped him on the shoulder, and he went like this. And I said, so, you know pain? He said, no, it's gone. It's gone. And he was all smiles, and he told his wife, and we were thrilled, and we got our meal, and had that. We were even happier after that. And I said, "How are you feeling now?" Or a little bit later, I said, "You still all right?" What a doubting Thomas! "Are you still all right?" He said, "Yes," and he told his wife about it as well, and so they were really very happy. And then we were travelling with another Australian couple, and Rob, the husband, he's much better in the language than me. And I said, "Rob, later on," we went back to the hotel. I said, "Rob, I want you to come over and meet him, and speak more to him and explain the gospel." And so we went around there. It was 3-4 hours later. And I said, "Nala," and he came down the steps and welcomed me in. His wife came out all smiles. I said, "You're okay still?" He said, "Yes." "Yes." And his wife was so thrilled for her husband, you know. And so Rob and I sat down and began talking to him about the Lord in their language. And the need now to, you've been healed. God works miracles. This is the first miracle that he'd ever had. I mean, the Hindu religion, it's just like Catholic. The statues around the place and the gargoyles, the grinning gargoyles on the roof and the backyards set aside with all sorts of places where you put the daily sacrifices of fruit and bits and flowers, and the rats come along and eat them. It happens all the time. I mean, they got big rats there. No wonder they're well fed. And so you're in the book of Luke in chapter 17. And so Nala was healed and he was thrilled. And when Sophie and I went back to the hotel, Sophie said to me, "You know, the Bible says we shouldn't be amazed, but it's a bit hard." And I said, "I know." It's exciting. And it really did something to me. I mean, that's not the first miracle I've experienced, but it was it's the latest one, 15th of March. It was great. Now then, the topic, the theme of my talk is repentance. Okay? And we are minus the photos, but I've explained what happened to Nala. Now then, you're in chapter 17 and verse 11. "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.'" And you see, yes, as we read, 10 lepers were healed, but only one turned around and said, "Thank you, God." And so when Rob and I went there a few hours later, and he was already, and he said, he's 50 years old. He said, "I want you to come with me and go and visit my dad. We live close because he's a sick man. I want you to pray for him." And we said, "Okay then." So we went and got on his motorbike. Nala was riding, I was in the middle, and Rob was behind me. And so there was Nala sitting crunched up the front and Rob and I behind with, you know, the legs out the side, two pairs of legs out either side. And we didn't go very far, thankfully, you know, a couple of kilometres. And we got to his dad's house, where he lived and they all lived, and that's where all the grinning gargoyles and all the places of that you put your sacrifices and so on. And Rob said to me, he said, "These places or the system, this religious system, it's just so evil and it's so dead. There's nothing happening there." But because Nala had experienced the miracle, because he was thrilled, He grabbed hold of it and said, "Right, I want this for my dad." He noticed the difference. Now then, but we spoke with Nala a second time the following day and said, "Nala, you need to obey God now. You need to come and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said, well, you know, there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, but the upshot of it all was, but he said, no, I'm better now. I don't need to. Now, go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Now then, you see, repentance. We do read the word repent and repentance in the New Testament a little bit. And by the way, yes, it's wonderful to experience miracles. It's wonderful to talk about the Lord. It's wonderful to anticipate the Lord's return. But if you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, don't delay. Jesus Christ is coming back, and the Bible says you need to repent and you need to be baptized. Repentance means literally to have another mind. Repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, to have another mind. And Nala, sadly, didn't have another mind. He's very friendly. We were left on good terms. Come along. Oh, yeah, maybe. But he didn't. He wasn't prepared to have another mind. Now then, are you in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 1? Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Paul is writing to Spirit-filled people. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness, so immorality or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. And in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And in verse 10, proving what is acceptable in the Lord. Well, what is acceptable? Don't you see what Paul is saying to the Spirit-filled? And there is a distinction between Spirit-filled people and unspirit-filled. He's saying you used to be unspirit-filled, but you're not now. Now I want you to walk in the light. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to get it right. I want you to live as new people, as Spirit-filled people, as inspired people. And he says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable. You see, people only live like that, live new lives, don't we? Because of repentance, because of having another mind. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. We can still be swearing. We can still be going to the Catholic Church or be a Hindu, or we can still be beating up our husbands or our wives or whatever the case may be. Do you still do that, Glennis? I thought we'll chat about that later. Anyway, so you keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 5 and go with me, because what we read in verse 10, proving what is acceptable. Well, what is it that is acceptable? Go with me to the book of Romans. Keep your finger there in Ephesians, but Romans chapter 12. And Paul is writing this time to the Spirit-filled people in Rome. Who's that laughing? We don't laugh in church. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what is acceptable to God. To be transformed by our minds being renewed now that we are Spirit-filled. To get up out of our apathy and to think and to grab hold of it with both hands and say, hallelujah, I'm Spirit-filled now. I've had a miracle in my life. Yes, I was healed of the hypertension. Hypertension is the glorified name for high blood pressure, isn't it? Anyway, I don't know what the other symptoms of high blood pressure are, But when we were sitting there at the table, Nala was obviously wanting to tell us about his illness. He was fed up with it after 12 years. Who wouldn't be? And he got out the packets of medication and says, I take this and it, you know, I suppose it had some effect. Well, I don't know how much of an effect it had, but he still was troubled with it. He was obviously troubled enough to tell three complete strangers sitting down waiting for a meal. But instead of, you know, first let me tell you how sick I am. It concerned him, understandably. And so here we are. We are spirit-filled. Nala is not, or wasn't, then. But he certainly experienced the power of God. And so this repentance, it's absolutely fundamental. Yes, it's fundamental to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Rita was here 2 weeks ago. Is that right, Rita? And you repented. You decided to have another mind. You said, well, okay, God, I'll do it your way. And she was baptized and wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit. What a thrill. Welcome aboard. In chapter 13 and verse 9, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. You know what it's like when you first wake up. It takes a little while to come to grips with what's going on. It takes a little while to be able to concentrate on what the person next to you is saying, doesn't it, Glynis? No. Yesterday evening, amongst others, Dave and Carly were over at our house and they had their baby boy, Joe, and he's 4 months old and he'd just woken up. I walked into the house, he'd just woken up and he was all bleary-eyed and I was trying to, you know, get a reaction out of him. And Carly said, you're wasting your time. You know, he's only just woken up. He needed to wake up out of sleep. And so do you and I sometimes. We need to wake up out of our spiritual sleep. And we need to get our spiritual mind working. We need to be able to see and understand the spiritual things. We're not just natural people anymore. Yes, we are natural people, but we're spirit-filled natural people. We've got something inside of us that never used to be there. And it is now. And so the Lord says, I want you to repent. I want you to have this other mind. And through the scriptures, time and time again, the different writers in the Bible talk about being this new creature. And so there's a need now for you and I. It doesn't matter whether we've been filled with the Holy Spirit for 30 years like Rod or 2 weeks like Rita. It doesn't matter. We're all the same. We're all equal. But there's a need to have this other mind. There's a need for repentance. So, yes, we need it before we receive the Holy Spirit, but it's a continual process. And so back to the book of Ephesians, please, and in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, wherefore he says, awake you that sleep and arise from the dead and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know, to be circumspect means to be prudent, to be, you know, well advised, considerate. Considerate of our actions, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, or the effect of these days, the times that we live, they are evil, the influence is evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So when he says, don't walk as a fool, well, foolishness is not necessarily being silly and idiotic. We can all do that from time to time. But what Paul is talking about is don't be unwise spiritually. There is a need for all of us to have a degree of spiritual maturity and natural maturity, Pastor Phil. That would help. It's all very well making fun of me, Pastor Phil, when you're out here, but, you know, you, I think you momentarily forgot that I'd get up here. All right, so in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and this time John is writing. John was on the Isle of Patmos in Greece. Well, off the coast of Greece, off the coast of Turkey. He was on Patmos. This is around 90 AD that he wrote these things. And he was writing to the Spirit-filled people in seven different cities. One was Ephesus, one was Philadelphia, and so on. But he also, one was in Laodicea. You see, John was sent over to Patmos because he was a bit in the way. He was imprisoned there marooned there for a year. But he was still in contact with the saints and hopefully teaching them. And in verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Surely we're not talking about God's people. Surely we're not talking about God doing this to his people. We are talking about God doing this to his people. He said, if you're lukewarm, you better make up your mind. You spirit-filled people over there in Laodicea, you better make up your mind. Because if you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we live in the Laodicean age. We've got that much money. It's ridiculous compared to so many people in this world, in other parts of the world. And it's so easy for us. And we are all caught up to one extent or another with this natural life, with getting educated, with going on holidays, with traveling to Indonesia or something like that, as we have just done. And building houses and building careers and so on. But we're caught up. And so he's saying, well, in verse 18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. So we see this repentant attitude. It is necessary for the continued well-being of us in our walk in the Lord. Yes, we needed it 30 years ago when we got baptized and received the Holy Spirit, but we need it today just as much. And we should never be unclear of that. And by the way, you may be interested, just as a bit of an aside, that place, Laodicea, John was on Patmos, and from Patmos you can see across on a clear day, you can see the coastline of Turkey, and you can see where Ephesus is, because Ephesus was on the coast. 2,000 years ago it was on the coast, but it's actually been moved six times, the city of Ephesus, and it's now a few kilometres inland. But the original city of Ephesus was on the coast. Anyway, but John from Patmos could see that. You wouldn't have been able to see Laodicea because that was a few hundred kilometres away. But it was still over there. We went to Ephesus, Sophie and I, and it was all very interesting. And we actually went on a trip. They took us out to near Laodicea. And it's at Laodicea that there is a shrub that grows and grew then that has been used for medicinal purposes, particularly for making an ointment for eye infections. Isn't that amazing? And so when John from Patmos, maybe they had him over there as well, but John, when he was writing to the saints over there saying, get your act together spiritually, was using a natural example. Use some of the ointment so that you can see what's going on. And now you can see what's going on. Repent. Change your way of thinking and therefore change the way that you're living and conducting your walk in the Lord. And the book of Acts in chapter 26. The book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 19. Paul here was called upon, was speaking to. He was having to give account for himself. And he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Yes, so it's necessary for you. If you're not spirit-filled, you need to do that. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And sometimes we're not very popular, there is no doubt. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning does make you mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. These things are not done in a corner. There was Nala, who was not in a corner. He was sitting there at the table, and he was healed there and then at the table. And he knew about it. God was in front of him, if you like. He had the potential, he had the opportunity to change his mind. But it, as we all know, to come away from a religion such as Catholicism, such as Hindu, such as Islam, such as the Church of England or the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's difficult. You've got to break away the way you've been entrenched for so many years. And that's why repentance is so necessary. And I dare say all of us can think of the way we think now, the way we act, the way we speak. And is there any need? Can we do a bit more repenting? Can we be a bit more transformed by the renewing of our mind? Can we put forward our bodies as a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ? Are we motivated and inspired by the Spirit that's inside of us now? A few days after, the day after the wedding, so Nala was healed on the Friday. We had the wedding on the Saturday. The Sunday we went to the communion meeting in Denpasar, an hour or so's drive away. And there were some people. It's just a sea of young people. You know, Sophie and I were the oldest young people there. Anyway, There were some people, Pastor William said, oh, we want, you know, we'll have the prayer line now, and if you want to come and be baptized or if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you can come out. And so he said, Pastor Simon, you come out, and a translator came out with me, which is good. And a young woman came out, probably a teenager, probably or maybe 20 or something, and she looked a bit sad and so on, the translator just described the situation. She's had a rough time. She's not spirit-filled, but she wants to get it. I said, all right then. And I said, well, if you receive the Holy Spirit now, you do need to be baptized. Are you prepared to do that? Yes, of course. And so we were praying, and there was, you know, 150 of us in the hall, and most people were just hallelujah, hallelujah, you know, and there were a few choruses happening. And this lady began praying, and she started saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And then all of a sudden she received the Holy Spirit, and her voice just, she put her head back a little bit, and her voice just went up, and whoa, off she went. And everybody in the hall was looking, and it was just so exciting, just so exciting. And after half a minute or so, I said, all right, that's enough, that's enough. and she started crying. Not because I, you know, and the lady that was with me, she was translating. She said, "Oh, she's had an awful home life. Her parents are not good to her, and so on and so on." And I turned around. And I said, "Look at all these people. You see these people? They're your brothers and sisters now, because we've got one Father in heaven. You've been transformed in God's sight. You are new. You're perfect. Now you need to come and be baptized." She was thrilled later on, just thrilled. So the repentance just leads to a change of lives, doesn't it? If we repent towards God, I mean, it's got to be in the right direction, then God's blessings just flow in our lives, as Rosalind was talking about in her testimony. All right, I'm nearly finished. Have I run out of time, Pastor Phil? What, 2 minutes, have I? You like to finish at 12, do you? All right. All right. Okay, then. Well, we'll do that, shall we? In the book of Romans, chapter 7, perhaps. But, of course, it's all very well me speaking about repentance, about the need to have another mind, you know. It's all right you're saying that. Just click your fingers and do it. Well, it's not that easy, is it? Because we've got our natural minds up here. The Bible says that the carnal mind is at enmity. Enmity, that word enmity in Romans 8, it comes from the Greek word ekthra, and it means a deep-rooted hatred and an irreconcilable hostility. That's what the natural mind is compared to God. And so we've got to contend with that. And in Romans chapter 7 and in verse 2, no, we won't worry about verse 2. Paul here is speaking. Are you in Romans 7? Yes, that's good. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, but for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And Paul is identifying the conflict. Yes, he says elsewhere we need to have this new mind, but he's also acknowledging it's not automatic. He's acknowledging that there's a conflict within us. I mean, there's a conflict within us, isn't there? That we struggle at times to say the right thing, to think the right thing, to behave and so on. Well, okay, how are we going to do it? Well, we're spirit-filled, aren't we? We've got a dynamo inside of us, a spiritual dynamo, but we've got to use it. We've got to pray in the Spirit. We've got to read the Word. We need the fellowship. We need the testimonies. We need the encouragement of each other. So let's be involved. Let's keep on rejoicing in the Lord and the salvation and what He's given us. So yes, it's not automatic. There's always this natural mind working against us, and I'm conscious, Phil, of the time, so we'll finish off shortly in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. By the way, who's coming down to camp in Busselton? A few. Good on you. Well done. It'll be a good 9 days or however many days you're able to be there of fellowship and encouragement. Philippians chapter 2. Paul again writing to the Spirit-filled, and he says in chapter 2 and verse 2, "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." My word, that takes repentance, doesn't it? That takes having another mind, thinking that somebody else is, you know, comes first. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So, again, we see if we're talking of the theme of repentance, it's there through the Scriptures, isn't it? Whoever the writers are speaking to, they seem to talk on these things. Verse 6. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." And verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Don't be a murmurer. Don't be complaining about, Pastor Phil can't sing, and then they got down Pastor Simon and he's even worse. Don't complain about that. You know, the choruses don't go on that long. He's not really bad. He's probably getting better. And he's not as bad as me, so there you are. That's something, isn't it? You know, Curly Kane, years ago he said to me that I sounded like an untrained bullfrog. You know, I was so hurt, as you can imagine. And he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Yes, it does take another mind. It takes a conscious effort. But we're spirit-filled now. We're God's people now. We're transformed, hopefully. We've got a purpose now. It's a God-given purpose to get into the kingdom of God. It's to look after one another, to encourage one another, to maintain our walk with the Lord until the return of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not being nice and going to church on Sunday mornings. The world is full of people being nice and going to church. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're not Sunday Christians, we are Christians. We're some of the anointed ones, and we've got a purpose. It's to help reconcile people to the Lord. It's to help bring in the people that are lost in, like Nala, in the all the ceremony of the Hindu religion, all the ceremony of the Catholic religion, all the worldliness. I mean, look, if you want a worldly place, just look around us. My word, what a world we live in. And he says then in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights of the world. And it's because of the repentance that you do and that I do, we're going to shine. If we don't repent, we'll be in darkness. If we don't continue to repent, we'll be in darkness. But here Paul says, wake up, arise out of sleep. No longer walk in darkness, but walk in light, because we belong to the Lord and God has given us a purpose, and we're so pleased about it, aren't we? All the people said. All right.